T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joined by 12-year NFL vet Wade Smith. Wade, there's obviously a lot of problems over there off Kirby. You know, I think this time of year, probably in the NFL, I think everybody on their exit exams and exit meetings and all that kind of stuff. I think a large percentage of the teams around the NFL, they're having conversations of concerns, whether that's on the offensive side of the football or on the defense side of the football. Look, wait, hell, I listened to some KC radio last week, Buffalo radio the week before.
Yeah.
And it's everybody's talking about game time management and too many penalties and play calling and what the problems are offensively and defensively. And so the Texans aren't the only teams in the country that are dealing with problems. And unfortunately, you've got some problems on both sides of the football at the coordinator position. And look, I think Romeo Crennel has done an admirable job this year overcoming the loss of several players, not just superstars, Wade, and not just at critical positions, but he's done an admirable job overcoming games with players missing at all three levels of the defense. You're talking about Clowney's gone, J.J. Watt, boom. McKinney missed a couple of games, right? Then you jump to the secondary, and at one point in time, at the end of the season, Gibson was out. Roby missed extended time. J.J. missed extended time. I think Reed didn't miss any games, did he? I don't think he missed any.
I don't think he missed any. If he did, I know he missed portions of games. Yeah. He would go out of games, but I don't remember him missing any games.
A big guy that we hadn't talked about, Wade, at all, Dylan Cole. Dylan Cole hurt when they lost him on this football team at the linebacker position when it comes to covering backs out of the backfield and having that speed to cover tight ends and stuff. But he did an admirable job overcoming those situations and continuing to give this team a chance. So I think first and foremost, before we dive in on Romeo Crennel, I think that is a feather in my man's cap, and he deserves to be saluted for the fact that his guys held onto the rope and creatively – schematically, they were able to do some things defensively that allowed the Texans to win 11 football games this year.
Yeah, if I looked at the defense of the Texans, I would say overall for the season, they overachieved.
Yeah.
Because there were multiple times this season where going into ball games, I had no confidence that the defense was going to be able to play at a very high level, and I was expecting the offense to be the one to carry the team. And the exact opposite thing happened. Yep. The defense stepped up and played really good ball games. And so I think when you look at a guy like Tashaun Gibson, losing him for this playoff run, losing him to go against Travis Kelce, that was a huge factor in a lot of the struggles that you saw this time when the Texans played Kansas City versus the first time. And there was losses like that, talking about personnel-wise, that were in and out of the lineup, and that affected what happened with the defense throughout the year.
Yeah, and I want to do this in a way, Wade, of not – I mean, we're not pointing blame. It doesn't matter. I hate playing a blame game. The reality of it is that if we're real, Romeo Crennel did an admirable job. If we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, Baltimore ran through them like mess through a goose, and they had no answers. They had no answers whatsoever. KC, for three quarters – got outscored 51-7. Was it 51 or 52?
51.
51-7. KC scored on seven straight drives, and the defense never had a chance to even remotely slow them down. And those are two things, Wade, that I think when you get into the offseason, the measuring stick or the bar is that of Baltimore, KC. In this instance, I guess you can look at Tennessee – if you'd like to, but
damn, it hurts to hear you say that. Right, it's painful. I hate to even put that even out there, but it's actually true.
Well, they're there. They're there. The I mean, I don't know that. That's we'll talk about that later. But at the end of the day, you got to look at this in the AFC. I mean, I think Kansas City is the team right now that's playing at the highest level, and I think Baltimore is the team that over a 16-17 week span played at the highest level. And so those are the two standards that you have to go, okay, where do we stack up against those guys? And truth of the matter is, the when the teams were fully loaded, fully healthy, you didn't stack up at all defensively. And so there's got to be some things change on the defensive side of the football. We mentioned it yesterday. Romeo Crennel's 73 years old. I imagine that that's going to work itself out. I would imagine that Romeo Crennel is going to retire rather than be fired. I would imagine that he's going to ease his way out and enjoy, have a little retirement party and move on. But there's some concerns outside of the coordinator, Wade. The pass rush, with or without 99, there are problems, baby. There's problems on that side of the football.
Yeah. I mean, they were unable to get any pressure on Pat Mahomes. I don't care who you have defending Travis Kelce. If Pat Mahomes gets to pat the ball back there 3-4 seconds in the pocket, not get moved off his spot, he's going to pick you apart. I don't care who's over there. I don't care if it's Deion trying to cover Travis Kelce. It's going to be a very difficult task to slow that guy down. And then they struggled rushing the passer to even get him off the spot. And then times that they did get him off the spot, they weren't disciplined in their rush. And so he killed them running the ball. Never on design runs. It was always on scrambles out of the pockets. He had over 50 yards rushing. And then he killed them throwing the ball once he got out of the pocket multiple times to Travis Kelce, multiple times to receivers. And so if you're not going to be disciplined in your rush and you're not going to get home, then you're going to have a long day at the office. And that's what you saw against Kansas City. And it wasn't just Kansas City. It happened throughout the season, especially when JJ went out. So they're going to have to figure out a way to drastically improve that pass rush in order to compete with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs and the other top teams in the AFC.
They got to go get somebody, Wade. Yeah. Right? I mean, they got to go get somebody. I don't know who's going to be out there. And I'm sure there's going to be some free agents out there that pop. I saw a list this morning. I didn't take notes when I was reading it, but I believe it was the top 50 free agents in 2020. And Hunter Henry, an old Arkansas tight end, was one of them. So that's I got the link forwarded to me from somebody that's an Arkansas fan. So that's really when I started looking at it. I want to dig into that thing and see who's going to become available down the road. But ultimately, they got to find some help up front, and they got to find it in a hurry. The secondary, Wade, I'm on the defensive side of the football. You know I'm higher on this secondary than most people are. I believe that, as you mentioned, versus Kansas City and multiple times throughout the year, when teams are when receivers and tight ends are able to run two patterns in one play, then they're probably going to get open. A lot of times they're going to get open. And so I don't think that there's as much work, I guess that needs to be added to this secondary. They've got to get better. There's no doubt about it. But I think if you make a scheme adjustment and if you find some guys up front that can get after the passer a little bit, I think that the secondary improves dramatically. Where do you sit on the secondary?
I tell you what, it all starts with Bradley Roby, because Bradley Roby showed that he could be a number one corner for the Houston Texans. When he's healthy, he played at a very high level, but he's a free agent. So you're going to have to pay him. You're going to have to pay him top dollar, because he had a year that was good enough that puts him in the category, especially with the way the market goes up each and every year. You're going to have to pay him a significant amount of money to bring him back to the Houston Texans. And if you don't, then now you're doing the same thing where you're going to have to find somebody else on the street to replace his role. Jonathan Joseph, I doubt that. He came out and said that he plans on playing this next season. He plans on continuing his career. I would be surprised if the Texans gave him a new deal, because they didn't even play him in the last few games of the year. Of course, a couple of games he was hurt, but this last game he didn't see in the field at all, and they were struggling on defense. I was expecting to see Jonathan Joseph out there on the field just for his veteran leadership, his ability to diagnose plays and see things out there, and he never made his way onto the field. And so to me, that tells me that they've kind of moved on from Jonathan Joseph. And so now you're talking about Gerrion Connelly, you're talking about Hargraves, you're talking about, of course, you're going to have Reed and Gibson coming back at the safety position to die. I think that the safety position is set. You're good there. But at the corner position, you're going to have to keep or get a new solidified number one corner. I think they're good with Hargraves as a slot guy, which is fine. You got Lonnie Johnson, a guy that played a bunch of snaps out there, and it started off pretty well against Travis Kelce. But, it's Travis Kelce, and eventually he was overmatched and taken advantage of. You got to hope that he improves next season. But, like I said, it starts with Bradley Roby. That's a big key to the puzzle with the defensive backfield. If they can bring him back, then I think for the most part you have enough in the defensive backfield to move forward with. But it all starts with the pass rush. I don't care how good your corners are and your safeties are. If you can't get after the quarterback, it won't matter what happens behind him.
Wade, two guys that I've got on my list in different scenarios, and I want to run it by you. DJ Reader, obviously we're both high on the guy, and he's a big piece of this defense at this point in time. Do you believe that with all the needs as far as a true pass rusher, that DJ Reader will be a priority in re-signing him and getting him back as a free agent?
I think they're going to attempt their damnedest to bring him back, but the more each day passes, the more I believe he's going to become a free agent, unrestricted free agent, and somebody's going to pay him top dollar, and he's not going to come back. I listened to Bill O'Brien in his press conference the other day. He was talking about, you know, he wants DJ Reader back, of course. That's definitely a good, sound thought process to want to have a guy of his caliber back on your roster. He does everything that you want on the field and off the field, his position. But it's also, he said, it's got to make sure it's something that's right for DJ and it's right for us. And so I'm sure they have a certain kind of budget or a position slotted for a certain amount of money that they allocate. This is what we're going to pay somebody that plays nose tackle for the Houston Texans. And I think what DJ can get on the open market is going to surpass that. Yeah. And so that's why I would be surprised if he comes back.
Well, when it's all said and done, I mean, they can't pay them all. I mean, they can't pay them all. They can't re-sign them all. And they got a lot of decisions to make over the next couple of years, right?
I don't know if that's true, Clint. You can't pay them all. You can't pay them all. You can't pay them all, but you can pay all the ones that are legitimate players that you want back. If you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there's enough money that the Texans have available under the cap, and there's enough money because the cap goes up each and every year. When I hear that you can't pay them all, I don't buy into that line of thinking.
What do you think about this, Wade? I had a conversation with a guy a couple days ago about this. What do you think about Zach Cunningham? Zach Cunningham's playing obviously an extremely high level right now. I believe he's got 1 year left on his contract because he came in with Deshaun, right?
Yeah.
And so he's got 1 year on his contract. Is that right? Zach Cunningham came in with Deshaun?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got 1 year left on his contract. He's a guy that's playing at a high enough level right now to where there's some serious value in moving him if that were something that came about. How would you feel?
What do you mean? Yeah. You mean like trading?
Trading? Yeah.
You want to trade Zach?
No. Hell no. I don't want to. It's just a conversation that I had.
Okay.
No. Hell no. I don't. I think Zach. To me, Zach Cunningham is the ideal 2020 linebacker in this league. That if you've got his rights, you got to keep him.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at the linebacker position and the starters, I mean, guys are under contract. And you're gonna and somebody's gonna have to be, not necessarily at that position, but somebody in that mix is gonna have to be moved. And if when you talking about moving guys, it's got to be a guy with some kind of value. And I'm just thinking of a guy that's got a high value right now at the moment.
Yeah, I would be extremely surprised if they tried to move somebody like Zach Cunningham. I would be surprised if they moved any of their start. If they were gonna move somebody, to me, you would move somebody like JJ. Like JJ would be somebody that I could consider, because you got to think about it. Zach Cunningham is 24 years old.
Look, I ain't disagreeing with you.
I just don't think it's a good business practice to get in the habit of trading away guys that are 24 years old that are playing at a very high level.
Yeah.
And you can actually take care of Zach Cunningham early. He hasn't achieved the Pro Bowl status yet, so that can save you some dollars right there. But pay him early so that you – but see – I don't think you need to trade any of these guys. That's
okay.
My whole point.
Yeah, gotcha.
I think there's enough money to go around that you can pay everybody that you feel like you want to be this tough, smart, dependable Houston Texan. They don't have so many great, talented players over there to where, all right, we're going to run out of money. I just don't see that as a realistic deal.